Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I don't know what happened, but I got bumped off. This is Sports Chat with T-Wash. I don't know what happened. I'm back on here, so hopefully you guys can hear me, who's ever out there listening. And if you are out there listening, give me a call so we can have some sports. 347-855-8034. Basically, today's show, I was going to talk about, I wanted to touch up on Tom Brady's injury, which I did earlier, if you heard me. I also want to talk about the Cavs and their struggles, what they're going through right now in the NBA. And then I want to talk about these conference championships. So for Brady's injury, I'm not going to be all day into it like I was earlier, but he has a lump like at the base of his thumb, and they're saying he may have a hard time gripping the ball. If Brady doesn't play effective, they're not going to win him on Sunday. And it also depends on if Jacksonville's front four can get to him and generate that type of pressure because, I mean, the ghost, Tom Coughlin, is there. And you know Tom Coughlin, he has a way with beating New England when he's with the Giants and he got the luckiest win in his life in 2007. I'll never give the Giants credit for that win in 2007. It was the luckiest thing I've seen in my life. Now, when they beat him here in Indianapolis in 2011, 2012, I give them credit for that one. They earned that one. The one in 07, that was pure luck. But Tom has a way of having guys that generate pressure on Tom Brady into him. And that's what happened. They harassed him and, you know, basically destroyed his offensive line the whole game. And he has the same type of players in Jacksonville right now with Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson, we got Fowler, you know, you got a lot of good players on that defense. You got Boye, you got Jalen Ramsey, you got Miles Jack. I mean, their whole defense is good from front to back. The front four, the linebackers, the safeties, and the corners. So Tom Brady's going to have some work to do, and it's going to be difficult if he's not at – I think he has to be at, like, at least 70%. If he could be at 70%, Tom Brady would be fine. And, you know, the Patriots would have a chance of winning the game. But, you know, on the other end, Bill Belichick, they're going to take away Leonard Fournette. He's not going to be able to run on the New England Patriots the way he did on Pittsburgh last week. They're going to force Blake Bortles to beat them. You know, Blake Bortles is not a good quarterback. And they're going to force him to beat them. So, you know, we're just going to have to see how it all play out. I'm picking the Patriots, you know. I'm a Patriot fan, and, you know, I call it like I see it. If Tom Brady is ineffective and he's not accurate as passes and he turns the ball over, or if it gets to the point where he can't go anymore and they put in Brian Hoyer, the Patriots will be done. They'll lose. They will not beat Jacksonville without Tom Brady playing at high level. Necessarily because of that defense. So, if Tom Brady could stay, you know, pretty healthy, if he could be like 70%, I'm going with the Patriots to win. And it may be an ugly game because of this injury. So, I'm going to say the Patriots will win something like 20-13. Yeah, I give them 20-13. I give them a 7-point victory. Now, as far as on the NFC side, you got the Minnesota Vikings who came off of that miracle win last week. I mean, that was amazing. It's amazing, but it was messed up at the same time. You got to feel sorry for that safety, that young rookie safety, Marcus Williams, for the Saints. You got to feel bad for him. It's like, man, how did he miss that? How did he not touch him at all? He just completely dove right by him. I mean, all he had to do was just, as Stephon Diggs was jumping in the air to grab that ball, he should have been right up there on him, grabbed him. Oh, Stephon Diggs even hit the ground. he would have been in Marcus Williams' arms, and he could have just slammed him down on the ground. Time would have ran out, and they would have won the game. He wouldn't even have time to get out of bounds for a field goal. He just grabbed him. It's like he gave him too much of a cushion. I didn't understand the defense the Saints had, you know, going on with them. Case Keenum had, you know, plenty of space to throw him the ball. I mean, wasn't any pressure being generated, so Case Keenum had time to throw the ball to a certain spot. I don't understand how Stephon Diggs wasn't really covered. I mean, it gave him a lot of space to catch that ball. So, you know, when those type of plays happen, it's almost like you're a team destiny. I mean, going back to that 2007 Super Bowl, you know, when Tyree caught that ball in his helmet, I knew game was over. You don't make plays like that and not win the game. So I believe that Minnesota's going to go into Philadelphia and beat them and be the first team ever host Super Bowl. As far as the Eagles, if Carson Wentz is playing, I would have to go with the Eagles because they were explosive offense, the best offense in the league until Carson Wentz hurt. And I just don't have any faith in Nick Foles to be able to guide this team to the Super Bowl, even at home. I mean, that Eagle offense is not very explosive anymore now that Carson Wentz is hurt. But this one might be an ugly game, too, because both defenses are great. So points may be limited on either side. But when it's all said and done, I would take Case Keenum over Nick Foles. And that's what I'm going to do. So that's why I have Minnesota continuing their miracle run, going to Philadelphia and beating Nick Foles and the Eagles. And, you know, this would be another low-scoring game, I believe, because of the defenses. I'm going to say Minnesota wins 17-13. So they're going to Philadelphia and win 17-13. I mean, think about it. The Eagles beat the Falcons 15-10. Now it's a low-scoring game. I could see the same thing happening with the Eagles in the game. And then that sets up a Super Bowl and the Minnesota Vikings. And the storylines would be Tom Brady's hand, of course. That would be the storyline. And the other storyline would be that Minnesota is hosting a home Super Bowl. And like I said, that never happened before. So you would think that Minnesota would have the home field advantage. You would think everybody would show up and show out on behalf of Minnesota, you know, because they'd be playing at home in the biggest game, in the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to admit, that's kind of sweet. And of course, you know, I got to roll with my team. I got to roll with the team I root for. I got to pick the Patriots to win. Even though Minnesota has a good defense, their defense is just as good as Jacksonville. You know, but hopefully Tom Brady has time to for his hand to heal, you know, if he makes it through this Jacksonville game, if he plays. You know, it all depends on that. Like I said, if it's any situation where Brian Hoyer has to enter the game, the Patriots, they're going to lose. They're not going to win. There's no way they're going to win with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. I just don't see it happening. So tell me what you guys think. If you want to talk about the Brady injury, you want to talk about these NFL conference championships, like I said, you got Minnesota going into Philadelphia. You got Jacksonville going into New England. And that's the first game of the day. Jacksonville, New England, 3 o'clock. Then you got Minnesota, Philadelphia about 6:30. Super Bowl, well, not Super Bowl, but Conference Championship Sunday. You want to talk about those games? Hit me up, 347-855-8034. Or if you want to talk about the NBA, which I'm about to get into here after my little break, we could talk about the NBA. We talk about the happenings in the NBA. What's going on? Talk about the Caps and their struggles. We could talk about Chris Paul leading his team down the secret passageway to the Clipper locker room. I mean, that was a joke. We could talk about that. And, you know, just sports in general. If you got any type of sports topics you want to talk about, you could call me and throw them out to me and we can discuss it. Just hit me up, 347-855-8034. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
Sometimes your boy misunderstood, same dollar, They peep the way I'm wired, it ain't quite what they accustomed to. Come for what I earn, and I won't accept a substitute. So persistent with it, I'm a little bugaboo. Never let nobody pick and choose when they loving you. Play the cracks by habit, that's the position that I didn't master. Exercise my mind, if they got questions, I got answers. Stand and scrape the sky, cause my antenna's up like antlers. Drop my nuts like an OG, got hair on them, surrestless. I'm really from the streets, but I don't look the part. Pressure on me, feel the heat. I don't take it to the heart. I be showing love for free. By design, this is art. High or low, I keep it G. Been that way from the start. I hang around older cats to stimulate my mental. 5 years in the league, to say the least, and been eventful. The greatest teams assembled, that ain't really what I'm into. They know so much about me, yet I'm still so suspenseful. I don't think I'm Nate Speed. Hate the way I speak my mind. Toes down, both feet.
Alright, welcome back to you. Sports Chat with your man T. Wash. That was my man, Dame Dollar, Damian Lillard, one of the most disrespected point guard in the league. I mean, this kid is great, man. I've always liked him. I liked him back when he's at Weber State. Dude puts up numbers. He scores butts. He should be an all-star, but for whatever reason, with him being in the West, he always gets snubbed. If he moved over to the East, he would be the starting point guard on the All-Star team. I mean, this dude puts up numbers. And that was just a little taste of what he do. He raps, too. His rap name is Dame Dollar. And just want to let you guys hear a bit of that. But that leads me off into the NBA. I want to talk about the Cavs. The Cavs and their struggles, man. I mean, since Christmas, the Cavs are 3-8. With two losses that they inspire, you know, two losses to the team inspired to beat, which is Golden State. I mean, these dudes lost by 34 points to the Raptors, and then by 28 to the Timberwolves. And these were back-to-back losses. I mean, truthfully, the way Cleveland looking right now, man, I don't think they're going to beat Boston Celtics to get to the finals. Right now, Boston is number one in the conference. The way LeBron and, you know, well, LeBron, I mean, he's not looking bad, but, I mean, the dude wore out. He played like 46 minutes a night. So it's like, I don't understand, man. I think Cleveland made some, you know, mistakes this year by the people that they brought in. I mean, look, last night they barely beat the Orlando Magic, and the Orlando Magic is the worst team in the league. They blew a 23-point lead to them. Truthfully, I still believe that it's Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie was a baller. Kyrie was that closer. And it's like they don't have a closer on the team. LeBron's really not a closer. He's more of a setup guy. And it's weird, but the dude, 6'8", like 260, a muscle. And basically go to the rim anytime he want. But sometimes I think he shy away from that because he's not that great of a free throw shooter. And he want to put a team in a situation where he misses a free throw in a crucial moment of the game. And that's why I believe he don't drive the hole as much. But they miss Kyrie Irving, man. And they're the old team. I mean, look, I'm going to reel off the ages of these players on their team. Yeah, Jose Calderon, who's 36 years old, man. Shane Frye, 34. Jeff Green, 31. Bron James is 33. Kyle Korver, 36. Kevin Love, 30. Derrick Rose, who, you know, career is basically over. He's like has been status now. He 30. Jeff Smith is 32. And then you got D. Wade, 36. They got all these 30-somethings on there. They got the oldest team in the NBA. And we go to state. I mean, Nick Young, Maggie, who she's. You got old man Davis who put in work. They'll put shots like that. LeBron, them, I don't understand. I mean, but I see y'all call here. Let me see this. What's going on? This is Chat with T-Wash. Hey, what's going on with you, man?
Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, I think Cleveland could use some youth, man, but, you know, they got experience. You know what I'm saying? What you saying, that the legs just wore out?
Man, they old, man. Yeah. I mean, these guys putting in a lot of minutes, too. You know, it's not like they the Spurs. You know, the Spurs got old players, but they got youth, too. That's why Popovich be sitting those guys. You know what I mean? He be sitting those older guys. They be taking game off. He got these young guys that could come in and, you know, produce, too. I just named about over, man, on their team. So, yeah, man, when y'all said done,
I mean,
I don't think they'd beat them.
But that was a conversation earlier this year, you know what I'm saying, on First Take, that they were saying, you know, should, you know, certain players sit out in games to rest certain players. Now you saying that those players should just do the minutes like LeBron is now?
No, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. They got too many minutes. LeBron is playing like 46 minutes, man. I mean, it's only so much he can do. I mean, like I said, out of their last 11 games, they done lost 8 of them, man. And they had back-to-back blowout losses to the Raptors and the Timberwolves by 34 and 28. And they played the Orlando Magic last night, who's the worst team in the game. And they blew a 23-point lead to them and only won by 1 point in Cleveland. So what I'm saying is, I don't think they're going to come out the East. I don't think they're good enough to beat the Boston Celtics, who number one right now. And if they're going to struggle like this with teams in the East, you know, teams they used to dominate all the time, there's no way they're going to beat Golden State. It's just not going to happen.
Do you think they just playing close to the vest to saving some gas for the end of the season or playoff?
Nah, because there's a lot of turmoil going on with that team right now too. You got players going upstairs to the, you know, to the front office complaining, saying that they need more playing time. They need to make some changes. You know, it's turmoil going on right now. So I don't think they're playing it close to the vest. I think they want to win. You know, win. You know, I don't think they want to, you know, lose 8
now,
out of 11 games.
Now, do you think that that's LeBron's fault or Tyronn Lue's?
Well, I would say Tyronn Lue, because he's the coach and he should know how to manage his team. Tyronn, I don't want to give him no blame, even though he's the defunct general manager. He's the one who had them re-signed Tristan Thompson to that big deal, because you know Tristan Thompson is a part of his man Rich sports agency. You know, he represents his man Rich Paul represent Tristan Thompson.
Right,
you best
right,
believe
right.
LeBron James has something with something to do with him getting that large contract, and Tristan Thompson, all he do is rebound. He can't score or nothing. But they gave him a big contract, like 80-some million dollar contract. They could use that money for the player. You know, they re-signed J.R. Smith. They re-signed him. Now all of a sudden he can't make threes, and that's what that was his specialty. And then you know you bring in Derrick Rose, who's a have-been now. He can't play anymore. You know, so it's like the moves they made just not good, man.
Now, do you think those moves was LeBron or the general manager?
To tell you the truth,
Derrick Rose, he wasn't a bad signing until he got hurt. You know what I'm saying? I just would have did that, you know what I'm saying, with options on his contract. You know, he's a broke wagon wheel with a dent in him. You know what I'm saying? He can roll along for so long. I wish he was, you know, 100%. But I don't think he's going to do it anymore, man. After this year, I'm surprised that he came back. I don't even know why he did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's an ankle here. It's an elbow there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's the Kevin White of Chicago, but now he's in Cleveland.
That's messed
up. You know what I'm saying?
I knew exactly what you said. That's messed up. You gotta compare him to Kevin White.
Every time they blow a whistle and he come and he starts to come in, as soon as he take off his sweats, man, something is wrong with him. He don't even been and got the ball yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's wrong with him. He goes up for a rebound. I mean, it's like a Bigfoot is on the court, man. He always landing on somebody's foot, twisting an ankle, twisting a knee. It's something with him. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
But
yeah.
They got like four sharpshooters, supposedly sharpshooter, three point shooters on their team. And they
can't
find
making shots.
Right. I don't know what happened to Kyle Korver. He's the only one who will bury it every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know
you
what
got
I'm
him,
saying?
You got J.R. Smith, you got Channing Frye. These are the top 3-point shooters. Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, Channing Frye. Kevin Love can make threes. But, you know, he also playing in the inside. They moved him to the center. And I'm not knocking Kevin Love because he's having a good season. Kevin Love is actually playing.
Right, he is having a good season. I mean,
in Minnesota.
What was the purpose? I heard what you said, but, I mean, if you're going to move Kevin Love to the center position, what is the purpose of you signing Tristan Thompson to that big contract? What was the purpose? If you're going to move him to the five, what is Tristan? I mean, he basically doing what he's, you know, he's just a tree stump planted in the middle of the floor with cement shoes.
I got a feeling they're gonna try to trade. They're probably gonna try to trade Tristan Thompson. Because word is they want DeAndre Jordan.
And that's what I was about to say.
If I was the Clippers, I wouldn't take him. If I was the Clippers, I wouldn't take Tristan Thompson for DeAndre Jordan. But, yeah, they're gonna have to make some kind of move at the trade deadline because the way it's going right now, they're not even going to beat Boston to come out of the East. You know their goal is to get to the finals and get another rematch with the Warriors because the Warriors will be there. Only team I can see that could challenge the Warriors is San Antonio. Don't give me Houston because I have no faith in James Harden and Chris Paul. But San Antonio is the only team that I believe that could challenge the Warriors. And in the 7-game series, I still think the Warriors will beat them. So I believe the Warriors will be there in the end, waiting for, you know, Cleveland. But the way they're looking, I don't think they're going to beat Boston to get to the finals.
You don't think Boston has a chance to beat the Warriors?
Nah, they too young. They got a lot of young dudes. No. I mean, because think about it. Who gonna guard Durant on their team? You know, they can't put the little young pup Jason Tatum on him. He's not gonna be able to do nothing. And then Draymond Green, Draymond. The thing I do like about Draymond Green and Marcus Smart, kind of the same type of player. They're irritants. They're getting your head, but you know they don't guard each other because Marcus Smart is a guard. You know, Draymond Green is a small power forward. You know, man. Steph and Kyrie, that's a wash. You have Jaylen Brown guarding Klay Thompson. That'll be a good matchup. You know, but Golden State got the better bench than Boston. Boston really only go like 7 deep, whereas the Warriors go like 9 deep, 10 deep. So I don't know, man. It's like
I think they bring
the Warriors
out their
are just
whole
built
team.
To win, man. What's that?
I think they just bring out their whole team, shit, to tell you the truth. I mean, everybody that they bring off the bench does something good for them.
Yeah.
Every night.
Everybody produces. In that game against Cleveland, when they beat them on Martin Luther King Day, when they beat Cleveland on Monday. It was their bench, man. Steph Curry and Durant were sitting out of the game. They bench extended that lead. I'm talking about Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, the rookie out of Oregon. I can't remember his name. Nick Young, David West. Those guys were out there, and they extended the lead. They made the lead larger than it was when Kevin Durant and Steph Curry were out there. So that's what I'm saying. They bench to produce.
I didn't get a chance to see who won. Did Golden State blow Chicago out the other night?
Nah, they didn't blow them out. It didn't blow them out, man. I love that center, Lauri Markkanen, man. That power forward, man. The kid out of Arizona, he good. Steph Curry shot off of his face.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and Chris Dunn did a two-hand dunk and landed on his face. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, crazy, well, man. he tried to show out. I hope he gets better soon.
I know. I like him, man. I picked him to be Rookie of the Year a couple years ago, but, you know, he really Tibbs didn't give him no time.
Yeah.
I liked him when he was in Providence, man. The kid, he could play defense. He's a good floor leader. So, you know, you're starting to see it with Chicago. And I like what Zach LaVine's been doing, man. He looking good.
Yeah,
he's been
showing out. But when Dunn landed like that, it just took me back to the point guard that Chicago drafted, Jay Williams, from Duke, a couple years ago.
Yeah, Jay Williams.
Yeah.
Who got in a motorcycle accident and messed his career up.
That took me back when he landed like that, because I really thought he was going to break his neck. It broke his neck at first.
I know, man. It didn't look good at all. He face planted on his face. His face was the first thing that hit the ground, man. That was crazy.
Yeah. And you know, it's really hard to see which direction that Cleveland is going to go, because they was having problems, personnel problems before the year got started. And then it all kind of came together. You got all these players coming from different places. You know what I'm saying? But they never thought. They've never sat down to think, you know, about the youth factor. All they was thinking about is getting bullets to fit in their gun for Golden State. And now the morons don't have the right type of bullets for the right type of gun.
Nope. That's what I said.
You know what
I think they're
trying to put a shotgun shell. Trying to put a shotgun shell in a revolver, and it's not fitting. You know, the cylinder. So all you're getting is a bullet that's gonna blow up in your face. And to tell you the truth, that's what Cleveland gets by letting LeBron run the show.
Yeah. That's why I said he's basically the defunct general manager. A lot of those moves are because of him. You know, he wanted to have his homeboy, D. Wade, on the team. You know, D. Wade old now, man. You know, I mean, every once in a while he'll give you something, but he's not going to be consistent like he used to be, you know.
Right.
That was his call, you know, to re-up J.R. Smith. That's his call to – basically re-up Tristan Thompson. I believe LeBron James had a say-so in how this team was put together.
Oh, yeah, because all he seen was matchups for, you know, the firepower that Golden State brings, but he never considered, you know, the youth factor and the legs that he was putting on his team, because really and truly, I'm not quite sure of the age difference between the two teams. You know what I'm saying? If you look at it down the line, I'm assuming that Cleveland is a couple of years older at almost all the positions.
Yeah, they're a few years older. I mean, the oldest player for both squads, David West. You know, David West
right.
for the Warriors. He's still producing at a good number. I mean, David West.
He should be. You know what I'm saying? He should be producing because he's not. He's not the facilitator. He's not the focal point of that
uh-huh.
team. So if you got all, if you got the ball being passed around the horn, you know what I'm saying? David West might as well have his own coach guarding him. What can Steve Kerr do with David West in the post? I mean, basically,
yeah.
that's what you got right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly
that's
what
basically
you're saying.
That's basically what you have right now. You know, I mean, that's like having my grandmother guard Shaquille O'Neal. You know what I'm saying? She's just gonna be jumping for the ball. He gonna be playing with her, and that's
yeah.
basically what they. He might let her get a layup. After that, he gonna get mad and not gonna let her get back to the box. Period.
Yeah.
And that's exactly.
Yeah, but
I think it's gonna be, if they do get there, it's gonna be a blowout.
Oh yeah, it'll
I
be
really
a sweep,
do
man.
Think so because
it'll be
because they gonna have to. They're going to have to – Cleveland, as I see it now, Cleveland is going – they're going to have to fight to get back, you know, even probably even to the wild card. You know what
no,
I'm
no,
saying?
The playoffs? No, they'll make the playoffs. They'll make the playoffs. But
I'm saying,
the way they
but
they're
going
right
to have to
the
fight
they
through
make, yeah, they're going to have to fight, but I'm saying, I don't even think they'll beat Boston. The way they constructed right now, they don't make some kind of move at the deadline, bring some fresh blood and, you know, some new players, then they're not going to have much of a shot. But what I'm saying is, like
in the past couple of years, the last two seasons, they've cruised through the playoffs, you know, where,
yeah.
like right now, you know, Kevin, like you said, when they played Golden State, Kevin Durant and Steph was sitting on the bench. The bench brought
yeah.
them to so that was a cruise game for them, like Cleveland used to have. Now Cleveland, as I see it, they're just making themselves more and more wore out by having to fight these scrappy teams. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These low-budget, B-rated teams right now are beating the heck out of them. Because they tasting blood, and everybody
yeah.
wants to beat the King.
Yeah. Well,
everybody
Jay,
wants
man.
To beat LeBron. Everybody wants to beat Cleveland, and everybody wants to beat Golden State.
Yeah.
And, oh, my
well,
gosh, when Golden State starts getting slapped around, ooh, buddy.
Yeah.
You,
well,
you
Jay,
probably
man,
won't be
hey,
able to pass
hey,
them.
Thanks for calling, man. I got another call on here, man. You know, I already know the deal, man. You call me on Fridays, 6:30 to 8. You know, call. We can talk about your Bears, Cubs, whatever you want to talk about, man. But thanks for calling, man.
All right. Now you stay up, man.
All right, man. What's going on? It's Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
New England hater.
Ha, New England hater. Okay. What's going on? What you got for me, New England hater?
Let's see. Brady's injury sake, Belichick's a genius. Jaguars by 14.
14? Hey, you know what?
14.
I'm not even going to doubt it. If Brady's not at 70%, man, I have to agree with you. I hate to say it because the thing that suck about it, this is the reason why I wanted them to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So they get one last run in. And then let Brady get his, you know, give Brady his release out of respect to him. Let him choose a team he want to go to, and then start fresh with Jimmy next year. And now, if this man don't play Sunday, it's gonna be messed up because that means Brian Hoyer is gonna have to come into the game. And Brian Hoyer steps in the game, they're done. So,
Brady's 100%. Belichick's a genius, but Jacksonville will win by 14.
No, not at Brady 100%, man. It's not happening. 14 in New England. So what?
Brady,
like,
will
do that?
Brady will get pounded.
Okay,
Brady will get pounded.
That's a possibility. So are you telling me that Blake Bortles is going to put up numbers, or is it going to be the defense that put up those points?
It's going to be the defense.
Because it's not going to be Blake Bortles.
Let's just see how Belichick handles this. But Brady is not hurt.
So you think this is a smoke screen?
This is a smoke screen. Typical Belichick.
I don't know, man.
Typical Belichick.
I saw a picture of his hand, man. He has a big knot at the base of his thumb, man. I don't know if that was fabricated.
Photoshop, though, right?
Yeah, it could be, but I don't. So why do you think that the Patriots got to do something like this? Why do you think they got to, you know, like, lie about an injury, fabricate an injury? There's no reason to fabricate an injury.
Jacksonville's not talking right now, are they?
Well, I mean, Jalen Ramsey was really the person that said something. It was at the beginning of the week.
But Jacksonville hasn't said anything, have they?
No, I don't think they need to say anything. Everybody motivated. Everybody motivated for this game. I'm pretty sure their players are motivated. There's no need for no bulletin board stuff. Both teams are motivated.
And
that would make your day, won't it?
And then you can bury all your Patriot gear.
Oh, no, nah, never that, man. Never that. The only issue
and
I got with the Patriots is that they didn't keep Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the only issue I have with them. Because like I said, hey, I wanted them to let Brady go next year. I did. I wanted to start new with Jimmy. I wanted them to get one last run and let him go. And that's coming from a 25-year-plus Patriot fan. I wanted them to let Brady go. I'm not like them Boston people, man. I don't sniff the air, Brady, you know, breathing. Nah, man. I became a Patriot fan because of Drew Bledsoe.
Just think, if Bledsoe didn't go down, there'd be no Brady. But after this,
I know.
After this Sunday, are you going to bury your Patriot gear?
No. No. Why would I do that? I'm going to be a Patriot fan, man. No.
Why would I do that?
I know. Why would I bury my Patriot gear, man? I have no reason to do that.
Patriots are done.
Okay, well, I need to ask you this. You know, with you being a big Colt guy, how do you feel about Josh McDaniels coming here to take the job? Are you okay with it?
Nah, I'm not okay with it.
Nah, you don't want him?
See, McDaniels is part of Belichick's system. Belichick's system will not work in Indy.
Well, the Colts got to make some things happen before anything work here. I mean, him working with Jacoby Brissett, that might work out.
Yeah, but if Andrew Luck is not healthy, they don't have a premier running back. Their offensive line is terrible.
You didn't like Marlon Mack?
No, I didn't. I don't care for Marlon Mack. I like Frank Gore, I disagree with Bill Polian, and McDaniels is not a good fit here.
Well, who would you rather him had taken?
Let's bring Harbaugh down here.
You know what? I said that. I said that a long time ago. I said that when the college season ended. I like the coach to get Harbaugh. You know, Captain Comeback. He was here. I agree with you, man.
But McDaniels,
I wonder if they tried to talk to him.
Think about it. McDaniels fell in Denver. He goes back with the Patriots. He succeeded, correct? Colts are not New England.
I don't know. That new GM, Ballard, must like the Patriots because he done made deals with them, and now he about to hire their offensive coordinator. So Ballard must like them. I don't know, man. You tell me.
And why didn't they hire Mike Vrabel?
Who, the Colts or the Patriots?
The Colts.
Well, the Colts, they say he's interviewing with Tennessee. I don't know. They say he's interviewing with Tennessee. That's what I heard. Yeah, we will. But I don't know, man.
My last thought is I took Jacksonville with a point, and it's going to be over on the spread. You heard it here first.
All right, 14. All right, man. We'll find out Sunday. I mean, that's all I can say. I can't sit here and say that it won't happen, especially with Brady not being 100%, and I don't believe he's 100%.
No, Brady's 100%. Don't let him fool you, man. If you look back on the playoffs, even before that, you've seen it. They always come up with some excuse to throw the opposing team off. That is Belichick being genius.
Go back
and tell me I'm wrong.
No, I really can't tell you wrong, man. No, I honestly can't tell you that you're wrong. Yeah, you know the Patriots, man. Hey, whatever advantage they can take, man, they gonna do it. That's just how they are, man. Everybody complains, but nobody else does it.
New England hasn't faced a defense like Jacksonville. Yeah, they gave up 42 points. They gave up 42 points against Pittsburgh, but they are all garbage points.
Yeah, those Antonio Brown touchdowns were ridiculous. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, they put Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski. You know that's going to open it up. Their best bet, man, Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, Fowler, they need to get the Brady. If they get the Brady, I can't disagree with you, man, because I've seen the Giants do it. And then, you know, the ghost of Coughlin is going to be hovering around in the press box. So, I mean,
I can't disagree with you. But why wouldn't they get the Brady? Patriots offensive line's not that great.
Yeah, the center and the guard, man. Yeah.
It's probably like a C-, you know, if I was to grade them.
Yeah, Andrews, he gets killed, man. I agree with you. The center, yeah. So if they can get a push up the middle, but who knows? Maybe they might have the game of their lives on Sunday and protect them. It can happen. I mean, it can happen.
I think the Patriots are going to quit like LeBron.
Oh, wow. They're going to quit, huh?
So I'll give you something to talk about. Patriots going to quit LeBron.
Man. They're going to quit like LeBron. And I just finished talking about LeBron.
But you have a good night, man. It was great to talk to you, Terrence, and I'll see you on your next show, buddy.
All right, man. Friday, 6:38, man. You can call in. You can bash the Pats. We could discuss it. We could talk about it because I know how much you hate them. But, hey, we talk about it, man.
Nah,
it's all good.
Next week we'll talk about the Pacers.
The Pacers? All right. Bet. All right, man.
All right, T-Bone. Peace out, man. Later.
All right. Thanks. That was my man, Curtis. One of the biggest Patriot haters I know. But he got some points, though, man. I mean, I can't sit here and deny it. I can't sit here and say for sure that the Patriots going to win. I'm going to sit here like him and say that they're going to lose, especially by 14 points in Foxborough to a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in years and to Blake Bortles, who Belichick is going to basically force to beat them. See, he didn't point that out. Belichick is a genius. You know, he could be a little arrogant, you know, I don't like that about him. He could be a little arrogant, too. But he's going to take away Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette is the key to their ground game. He's going to take him away, and he's going to force Blake Bortles to beat them. And when it's all said and done, I just don't believe Blake Bortles has it in him to beat him. Blake Bortles is a horrible quarterback. And, you know, the Patriots do play Jedi mind. Patriots do play Jedi mind tricks sometimes. But I don't know. That picture looked authentic to me. It didn't look Photoshop. And it looked like he had a big knot at the base of his thumb. So I don't know. I don't. Put it this way, we'll find out Sunday. If this dude is off on his throws or his throwing motion looks any different, then the dude's hurt. But if he comes out and he's throwing tight spirals, fitting it in the window and stuff the way he normally do, then we do know that it was, you know, it was a Jedi mind trick that Belichick and the Patriots are playing on Jackson. But to sit here and say they're going to lose by 14, man, come on, dude. Come on, Curtis. give me 3 or 6 or something. You're doing 14. I just don't see that happening, man. Not in Foxborough. Maybe if they were playing down in Jacksonville, you know, I may have to agree with him. And he's like the third Colt fan that I've talked to that said that they don't want Josh McDaniels. You know, he has a point. Josh McDaniels, he failed in Denver because he's trying to be like Belichick. He's trying to be a baby Belichick, and that's just not going to work, man. You got to earn the respect of your players. And it's like he was going in there and being a tyrant and trying to do everything the way Bill Belichick did, and it didn't work out for him. But I'm going to give Josh, you know, a little credit. He's in his 30s when he took that Denver job. He's like 34. Dude like 41, 42. He about my age. He's like 41, 42 now. He has to have, you know, gained some type of maturity now. So I think he – I mean, the Colts got to do some rebuilding. So I can't sit here and say that he'll do fine here. It depends on what Ballard brings in, you know, to help Josh out. Like I said, the one advantage Josh do have is that Jacoby Brissett's here, and he's worked with him already, being that, you know, he came from New England. So that'll be a plus. But the big thing with the Colts is, how's Andrew Luck going to look? How's he going to perform? Is he going to have surgery again once he starts throwing again? You know, is anything going to happen again? You know, and it's messed up because I really do think Ryan Grigson ruined that young dude's career. I like Andrew Luck. I am not a Colt fan, farthest from it. But I like Andrew Luck. And, you know, the way Ballard did him, by not giving him no protection, not getting him no offensive line help, I think he might have ruined this young dude's career. Because, you know, I mean, this came out like gangbusters, man. His rookie year, first couple years, got his team to the AFC Championship game within a 3-year period. I mean, who does that? So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, it's going to be a good weekend, man. Good Sunday. I got the Patriots beating Jacksonville. If Brady's at least 70%, you know. But if he's worse than that, then I got to go with Jacksonville, and I hate to do it. And Curtis might be right. The dynasty probably going to be over, you know, which he wants. You know, he lived in up there, so, you know, he had to deal with hearing it, you know. So he wants to end. But it probably will end if they lose the game. And like I said, I wish they would have kept Jimmy Garoppolo because – he was the future, and now he's the future in San Francisco, going there and winning 5 games. The team had 1 win when that dude got there. Put him in the starting lineup, he won 5 in a row. What a way to end the season. All right, I'm going to do my NBA rundown. Show's coming to an end. Any last-minute callers out there? 347-855-8034. All right, last night we had the Sixers. They beat the Celtics 89-80. One of my favorite players, Joel Embiid, he finished with 26 points, 16 boards. Ben Simmons, 6'10 point guard, probably going to be rookie of the year. He had like 8 points, about 7 dimes. I mean, the Sixers is the team I root for. And hopefully they'll be able to stay healthy, and hopefully – number one draft pick, Markelle Fultz, will make his way back, and we see how good he can be. Al Horford and Marcus Morris each had 14 points for the Celtics. Then, you know, like when I was talking to Jay, you had the Cleveland Cavaliers barely beating Orlando Magic, 104-103. They blew a 23-point lead to the Magic, and the Magic are the worst team in the league. Eric Gordon and Evan Fournier each with 17 points. And Isaiah Thomas, the newest addition to the Cavs, you know, part of that, basically part of that Kyrie Irving trade. And like I said, I believe they miss Kyrie Irving, man. They miss him. Irving's balling in Boston. But Isaiah Thomas finished with 20 points last night on 3 of 10 shooting from the 3-point line. So they need him to get his legs back, get his NBA legs back. You know, he's just coming back from that hip injury, so we still have to, you know, have yet to see the best of Isaiah Thomas, so hopefully we'll be getting that soon. Then you got the Timberwolves and the Rockets. The Rockets beat the Timberwolves 116-98. The Rockets were led by Indianapolis' own Eric Gordon, 30 points on 7-13 shooting from the three-point line. You know, that's what he do. So he scored 30 points off the bench for the Rockets. Jimmy Butler led the way for the Timberwolves with 23 points. And the last game of the night was the Indiana Pacers playing against my main man, my favorite point guard, who don't get credit, who should be an all-star, Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers beat the Pacers pretty good, 100-86. And that man, Damian Lillard, 26 points, 8 assists. Darren Collison and Victor Oladipo both led the Pacers with 23. So that's basically my NBA rundown for the games last night. All right, I like to do like a sports history question, like this day. Curtis, if you're still listening, you're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. And all Raider fans, you're going to love this one. January 19th, 2002, starts the beginning of the New England Patriots dynasty, a.k.a. the Tuck Rule game. With under 2 minutes left, the Patriots trailed the Raiders 13-10. Charles Woodson sealed the game for Oakland by stripping Tom Brady of the football, which was recovered by another Raider player. It would be ruled an incomplete pass, and that was the Tuck Rule, and that happened today, back in 2002, and that began the dynasty of the New England Patriots. And, hey, as a 25-year-plus Patriot fan, I will admit that was garbage. That was a fumble. That was not a forward pass. It was a fumble. So the Raiders, they got robbed that day, man, and I agree with them. Well, I got one last call. I got a few minutes left on the show. Let's see who this is.
Hello?
What's going on? This is Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Hello?
Yeah, what's going on? This is Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
This is Leon. What's up, Terrence?
What's going on, Leon? You heard what I just said, right? The Tuck Rule happened today, man.
It's about time you will finally admit it was a bum call.
Oh, come on, man. I've been admitting that to you since I've known you.
Hey, I heard what you said about Garoppolo, and I agree. I'd like to have seen the guys keep him, too, but I actually like seeing what he's doing out there on his own and away from Brady and Belichick.
Dude, he gonna be the first Patriot quarterback to succeed when they left New England. The thing about it, all the backups that's left, man, they went everywhere else and failed. This dude gonna succeed. He remind me of a young Aaron Rodgers, man. And that's why I'm really mad. Especially if Tom Brady have to sit out this game on Sunday. They would have had Jimmy. I believe they could have slid Jimmy right in, and they would win, man.
Yeah, I agree. But you're right there, too. Every other quarterback that's left that system's never really succeeded. So
nope.
It just shows that they do pick good quarterbacks for their systems, but Jimmy Garoppolo is just a good quarterback in all general.
I know, man. I know. It's hard, man. It's hard because I really wanted them – what I wanted them to get one last Super Bowl run, hopefully win this year. And then just out of respect, give Tom Brady his release, and then keep Jimmy. That's why that friction was going on, because they said that Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy, man.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm actually calling, though, is right after you made the comment about that Tuck Rule. Everybody always says that John Gruden rode in the curtails of Tony Dungy at Tampa Bay, but a lot of people forget that the Raiders is the team that he beat in the Super Bowl, which is the team that he left that the other coach, Calhoun, took over and rode his curtails there. So either way, his team would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And it was dumb on his part for not changing that system, because John Gruden knew that system completely, man. And you could clearly see it the way Tampa Bay defense dominated them. They knew everything the Raiders was going to do. Callahan, that was his name, Callahan.
Yeah, they did. They just tried to go in there with what
all the players knew from Gruden, and Gruden kind of like, hey, they're using my playbook. All right, we know how to stop this.
Yep. So you feel good about Gruden coming back, man?
I, you know, everybody says, well, his record wasn't really that good when he left and after the Super Bowl year at Tampa Bay, which he never really had a good quarterback under his system there after the Super Bowl win. I like what he's got to offer, and I do, and I like what he's got to offer, and I like the intensity that he brings with being the coach of the Raiders, and it seems to get the fans fired up, which seems to get the team fired up. So, yes, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you got Derek Carr, and I mean, you could tell Derek Carr wasn't himself. You know, it takes more than a year to come back from an ACL. So I expect the Raiders to be back to normal next year. I mean, you got the weapons in place. You got Cooper. You got Crabtree. If they keep, I hope they keep Crabtree. You got Cooper, Crabtree. You know what I mean? Now, Marshawn Lynch, I don't know, man. He's disappointing this year, man. I would draft the running back and let him go.
Well, you know, it would be nice to have him to help out with the thing, but he's never been one to really be a teacher of a running back system.
Oh,
he's
no,
not willing
no,
to...
no, not Marshawn Lynch.
he doesn't want to be that. Right.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah,
I think all in all, though, next year it'll be an interesting season for the Raiders.
Yeah, because this
was out of the four teams left. Yeah, out of the four teams left, I think, honestly, the Patriots have the best shot of winning. I hate to say that. but all in all, I like the fact that this will be three out of the first, or out of the three teams, it could be their first Super Bowl. So I'm kind of rooting for the underdogs, you know?
Yeah. Most people are.
So.
Yeah, most people are. I mean, we'll see, man. You know, like I said, if Brady's at least 70%, and they can protect him, give him a decent amount of time to be able to get rid of the ball, I think the Patriots will be fine. But if he comes out and he's not throwing the ball accurately, man, and they get to him, I think the Patriots are going to lose.
Well, that's just it. You just hit the head on the coffin right there, nail in the coffin right there, because they've not been able to really protect him that well like they used to in the past. This has been a lot of hits this year for him. And Jacksonville puts a lot of hits on quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I know, man.
Well, I'm proud to hear that you got this going and everything, and I'm going to get off here and listen for other callers to call in and take care. Tell your family I said hey, and God bless.
I will, but the show finna end in 30 seconds. You called at the end, man.
I was just out of work and only got to listen for a little bit.
Oh, okay. But, hey, look, Fridays, 6:30 to 8, man. I do this 6:30 to 8 on Friday, so feel free to call, man. And thanks, man,
I
for
will.
Calling, Leon. I appreciate it, buddy. Call in, and we can
hey,
talk
you
about
too.
Whatever sports you want.
All right, Terrence. Take care.
All right, man. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's the end. See you guys.